Happy Mother's Day. And we have, no doubt, many mothers in the room here. And if you are a mother, and there are different kinds of ways to be a mother. There are adoptive mothers, there are biological mothers, and they're not all the same, but they're all important, and they're all needed, and we ought to appreciate and thank mothers, and it's a good day to do that. And so if you are a mother, would you stand up? We want to honor you. This is something that we like to do every Mother's Day. We have flowers. Ushers, if you would come. We have a flower for each one of you. We've also been putting together a booklet of, it's called Meditations for Moms, and we're handing those out as well. It's not only moms can read them, and we're going to be producing more of these, and we'll probably have them in the track rack or something like that. But today, we'd like to give one to each mom. I've read through these, and they're a blessing. It's some different verses and songs and thoughts. Once you get your flower, you can sit down. Just some different thoughts that I think will be a blessing to you as you go through your daily life. But we want to be a blessing to you. We want to show you just in a small token that we appreciate mothers, and I'm going to be talking about that as well. But if you have a mother, and if you appreciate mothers, would you join me in giving mothers a hand this morning? In some ways, a day like this can be painful for people because it reminds them of difficulties. It's a sad truth that the relationships between sinners can be damaged and harmed, and that brings back hard memories, and I expect there are people that struggle with that on Mother's Day in that way because of their mother or because of the mother that they wish they had been to their children, and I recognize that, but it shouldn't let it change how we think about motherhood. It shouldn't make us sour on motherhood in general. Mothers are a gift from God, and motherhood is a gift from God. It's a good gift. It's a wonderful thing. And we're going to look at motherhood this morning from the perspective of it being a gift from God. People can make choices that are right or wrong, but it doesn't change God's gifts, and we can appreciate God's gifts. It's good for us to have a holiday like Mother's Day, in this case, to have it on our calendar. It's good to take time to put the focus on motherhood and on mothers. We know that motherhood comes with its share of blessings and frustrations and funny moments. You moms can probably identify with this. Cleaning with kids in the house is like brushing your teeth with Oreos. It's just, you don't get anywhere. I think some moms don't wish that they could sleep like a baby. They wish they could sleep like a dad. It's spicy is universal mom code for I don't want to share. You ever told your kids that? Now, I'm not advocating lying, but maybe that's an easy excuse to make. My kids asked me what it was like to be a mom, so I woke them up at 3 a.m. demanding to know where my lucky sock was. Showering as a mom is like an Olympic sport. Everyone's yelling your name, you have to beat the clock, and you rarely win a medal. Maybe some of you can identify with that. Have you ever heard of a job that requires no experience, gives no training, pays nothing, and you can't quit? That's motherhood. Oh, and people's lives are on the line. No pressure. And moms deserve our thanks. There are a lot of hurdles and difficulties that are a part of motherhood, and we ought to take every opportunity we can to express our thanks and love for them. And Mother's Day is a good time to do that. But if the day is going to fulfill its intent and be truly meaningful, we need to honor the one who is truly responsible for motherhood. We need to honor the Lord. These things are, it's good for us to honor people, and we do that on purpose, but that loses its meaning if we take God out of the picture. And we ought not to do that. God created motherhood. He gave the gift of motherhood to the human race. I'm not a female, obviously. I'm not a mother. But I think I can speak on behalf of females to say that it's a blessing that God gave females the ability to be mothers. That is a blessing. Look at Genesis chapter 3. And again, I know that there is many difficulties and the hardships, the trials, the challenges and obstacles, those provide the backdrop of motherhood in many ways. But it also gives the opportunity for the blessings. We wouldn't appreciate the blessings if it weren't for the obstacles and the difficulties. Genesis 3, verse 16. We know this story. Adam and Eve, they sinned. They ate the fruit that God told them not to eat. They disobeyed God's command, and they sinned. They died spiritually that very day. And there, God cursed the world. The universe began to travail because of man's sin. And we see the sorrow of motherhood here. Chapter 3, verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Maybe you moms would say, boy, what a blessing that would be if there was no sorrow in childbearing. What a wonderful gift that would be. Well, it's part of the curse that there is pain and sorrow, but what a blessing that there's still childbearing. Look at verse 20. It says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. It's a gift from God. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. We don't read about the sorrow. We know it was there, but there is blessing here. It's a gift from God. Look at Exodus chapter 2. In spite of the sorrow that's associated with childbearing and the conception and the pregnancy months and the childbirth and the rearing of children, there are lots of challenges and hurdles and difficulties, but it's still a blessing. It's a blessing from God. God gave it to the human race and to females particularly. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So there's sorrow here. This is this woman, she bore a child in the oppressive years of Egyptian slavery, and she was trying to keep him, protect him from death. It was legal for the Egyptians to take the Hebrew sons and throw them in the river. Verse 4, and his daughter stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Moses' adoption by Pharaoh's daughter is, from what I can discern, it's the first example of adoption in the Bible. adoptive motherhood. Moses was a great blessing to his biological mother, to his adoptive mother. I believe that she was blessed by having him in her life. Of course, we know that Moses is a blessing to the world because of what God did. And all of these things come back to God's gifts, God's goodness. Motherhood is a blessed gift from God, and not everyone has the same experiences in having a mom and being a mom, and I know this, but we can properly appreciate and enjoy God's blessings only when we receive them as from His hand and we benefit from them as He intends. And when we do that, this pleases God. I'm reminded in James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The good things, the blessings, all come from God. Psalm 149 says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. We ought to be thankful for God's blessings. Everyone in here has a mother. That's universal. And I know that not everyone in here has a mother who is still with us. Your mother may be deceased, and you can't talk to her today. You can't speak to her and thank her. But if you can, if she is still with you, you ought to thank her. You ought to bless her. Many of you are mothers, and many of us are not. But we still ought to appreciate motherhood as being a gift from God. And so this morning, I want to show you from Scripture how to appreciate God's gift of motherhood. How to appreciate God's gift of motherhood. God has a lot to say about mothers, and I think that we can appreciate them better and motherhood better when we see what God thinks about it. Let's pray, and then we'll consider these things. Lord, we thank You for all that You've created. We thank You for fathers as well, but today we are focusing on mothers. Lord, thank You for the traits that You give to mothers. And really, if they are good traits that a mother exhibits, they're traits that come from God. They're traits that are true of God. And we thank You for using motherhood to display those things. Help us to appreciate Your gifts and to give honor and respect and blessing and gratitude and love to those that deserve it, in the sense of fulfilling those roles that You have designed for them. Thank You for these things. Help us to praise You and to praise and bless and thank others today as well. In Jesus' name, amen. How to appreciate God's gift of motherhood? Well, first of all, it starts, we ought to honor our mother. And I would say this to the listener, you need to honor your mother. Turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we see this. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's an important truth. God thinks it's important. God reiterates over and over in His word, it's important that you honor your mother. Verse 12, Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the fifth of the Ten Commandments, and we please God by obeying His commands. It's pleasing to the Lord. This command to honor, of course, it's father and mother, but we're focusing on mothers. This command is given and reiterated 9 times in Scripture. 9 times from the time that it's given, and it's repeated over and over. We find it in the Gospels. We find it in Ephesians. Honor your mother. It's important to God. How do you honor your mother? Well, you obey her in the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is how we can appreciate God's gift, is we behave properly and we obey God. You are the kind of mother that God wants you to be. You treat your mother the way God wants you to treat her. This is how we appreciate God's gift. Ephesians 6 verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The first commandment with promise. There is some incentive here and some implied, maybe, judgment. If you refuse to honor your parents, You may not live long on the earth. We ought to obey our mother in the Lord. And this is particularly to children, but to honor your parents is a lifelong command. You never outgrow that command. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Turn over there if you would. We start honoring our mother as a child. We start that by obeying her in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. There are many adults in this room, and you're not a child to obey your mother in that same sense, but you still ought to honor her. Proverbs 1:8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Look at chapter 6, Proverbs 6, verse 20. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and over we see the child, the son, ought to obey the mother. My son, verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." It pleases God. It pleases God when you submit yourself to the authorities that he has put in your life. That is pleasing to the Lord. Many people do not like to do that. Many people do not want to honor their parents, honor their mother. But God will bless your life if you do that, if you submit yourself, if you obey. And your mom will be helped as well. It's a blessing to her when you obey her in the Lord and you honor her. You are a blessing to her, you are honoring to God, and you're helping yourself. It's a blessing to your life if you will honor her and obey her. You ought to also love her. This is another way to honor your mother. Look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. And we're just going through scripture, looking at different verses that pertain to mothers and what God wants people to do relative to mothers. It's important. This is how we appreciate God's gift. You know, if a person gives you a gift, maybe it's an appliance, maybe it's something to do with your hobby, and what do I do with this? Well, this is how you use it. Here's the owner's manual. This is what it's intended to be used for, and if you do, it will bless your life. It will help you. It will be a good thing to you. There's the old joke about the person buying the chainsaw, and it's supposed to, you know, they'll be able to cut 3 cords of wood every day with this chainsaw, and they're excited to go use the chainsaw, and a couple days later, they come back to the store. "It doesn't work. I can't hardly cut anything with this thing." And the owner says, "Well, let's check it out." And he pulls the chainsaw and starts it up, and it's running, and the person who bought it said, "What's that noise?" Well, of course you're not going to cut down very many trees if you're doing this with a chainsaw. You're not using it properly. It's not going to bless your life. And if we don't behave and not use in a bad sense, but you understand, benefit from motherhood and treat this gift from God the right way, we're not going to be blessed. We're not going to be helped. We need to live the way God tells us to live. Proverbs 15, verse 20. It says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." You ought to love your mother. You know what a foolish man does? And I think I could fill in, you know what a foolish woman does? They despise their mother. They don't love their mother. They're angry. They despise. They look down upon her. They think evil of her. They criticize her in their heart, maybe with their mouth. That's what foolish people do. If you want to appreciate God's gift of motherhood, you'll love your mother. Look at chapter 23. Chapter 23. Motherhood is a gift from God. What does God think about how you treat your mother? "Well, my mom, this and that." Well, what does God think? Is he pleased? Proverbs 23, verse 22, it says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." It's a sad thing to see how the human body breaks down. It's so sad to see the effects of age and disease and injuries and all these things. And we see the outside, and we see that effect happen in lives, and it can be easy to look down on somebody because their physical body is breaking down. Our culture and our world, there's a culture of death. And we need to get rid of and marginalize these elderly people because they don't contribute to society anymore. That's wicked. It's wicked. And God says, "Despise not thy mother when she is old." You ought to love her instead. Do you want to be a foolish person or a wise person? Be careful how you treat God's gifts. Also ought to love, we covered that, to forgive your mother. Psalm 51, and I don't want to make this a negative thing, but we're going through different things that I think are true to life. Because mothers are sinners also, but we ought not to let sinners' choices, others' choices, change how we treat God's gifts. Psalm 51:5, David is talking about himself here. He's showing his own sin, but it's a reflection, it's a reminder of his mother and all mothers. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He's not saying my mother was immoral, my mother was sinful in my conception. He's saying, I was conceived as a sinner because my mother is a sinner, because we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, and that includes your mother, and if you're a mother, that includes you, mothers sin against others as well. Mothers disappoint others. Mothers offend others. Mothers hurt other people. And you, no doubt, because you were raised, I trust most people were raised by their mother, some were not, and that's a different thing, but we've all been wronged by our mother at some point, in some way, and there's forgiveness needed. You ought to forgive her. Mothers are imperfect and flawed, just like fathers are, and children, and married people, and single people, and old people, and young people. If your mother has wronged you in some way, at some point, you have an opportunity to please God through that situation. Because motherhood and mothers are a gift from God. The Lord tells us how he feels about forgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15, he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And what's he saying? Well, if you don't do this, I'm going to vengefully take it out on... No, it's not what he's saying. He's saying, my command to you is you need to forgive others. And if you disobey my command and you won't forgive others, you won't treat them the way I'm telling you to treat them, then you and I have a relationship disruption here. Because you're in sin and you're refusing to obey God by forgiving others. So I can't forgive you. You're in sin. You're unrepentant. Your disobedience separates you from God. This gift of, in this particular case, we're talking about mothers, this gift of God to you, you are refusing to treat properly and bless her and love her and forgive her. You might say, well, you don't know the situation. You don't know the context. How do I begin in this? Well, it starts by remembering that you're a sinner too. How do you forgive others? Let's just broaden it a little bit. Not just moms, but anybody. Humans do terrible things to other humans. How do you forgive those things? How you hear in the headlines, terrible, terrible things. How do you forgive those things? How can you forgive others? Well, it starts by remembering that you're a sinner too. It starts by you humbling yourself before God. And you know his forgiveness. It starts with salvation. We don't know real forgiveness until we are saved. Until God, through Christ, has forgiven us. I don't have any standing to go to another person and say, you're such a horrible person because you did such and such. I am a sinner. I have my own guilt. I don't have any right to say, I'm just as wicked. I'm just as sinful. But I've been forgiven by Christ, by the Lord, because of Christ. What a blessing that is. And if I can be forgiven of my sin and be given a home in heaven and be made one with God, to be brought into his family, to be adopted. By God's grace, I can forgive anybody their sin. It's a wonderful thing. How do you forgive that other person? How do you forgive your mother? I don't know what she might have done to you, but how do you forgive her? You know God's forgiveness first. Humble yourself, and then you'll be in a position to forgive her, forgive that other person. Honor your mother. Obey her in the Lord. Love her. Forgive her and bless her. These are ways of honoring your parents, honoring your mother. Lift her up. Give her the honor that her position deserves. You and I, as sinners, we don't deserve anything. anything good. We deserve judgment from God. So this isn't about our inherent, what we've earned because we're just such great people. But God gives gifts and he puts people in positions because God does this. Those positions in relation to God, with God in the picture, those people and those positions do deserve honor. God designed them this way, and so you ought to honor your mother. Obey her, love her, forgive her, and bless her. Lift her up. How do you do this? What are some ways? Again, let's go to the Word of God. Go to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. If you give your heart, if you wholeheartedly pursue after treating your mother the way God wants you to treat her, the way the Bible tells you to treat your mother and honor her, that will improve your relationship, it will enhance it, enrich it, and it will bless you. You will be more joyful because you are honoring your mother. Well, but my mother, no, this is about obedience. This is about obeying God's commands and appreciating his blessings the way he intends. You will be blessed by this. This isn't about merit and about whether or not that person has earned it. This is about doing it because God says. Leviticus 20, verse 9, it says, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." This is a negative command. God disapproves very strongly of this. And the opposite of that, what we should be doing is bless her with our words. How can you bless others? Another verse that goes along with this one, Proverbs 20:20, it says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." And we won't get into that, but the point is, this is very bad to do, but you ought to bless her in your words. Thank her. Praise her. Voice what you're grateful for. Bless her in your words. Bless her in deeds. We see, again, some negative commands, but we'll read the negative commands on what not to do and flip it around to look at how we should do it. Just briefly, we ought to bless her indeed, and it looks something like gentleness. Exodus 21:15 says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death." That's violence. That's physical. We might call it assault in our current common legal terms. Gentleness is the opposite of that. Show some gentleness. Indeed, be gentle. Show blessing and give blessing in moral choices. Leviticus 18:7, it says, "The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover." Speaking of even incest and immorality in different ways, that's a terrible command. That's a command against terrible sin. God says, don't do that. We can bless our mother by making moral choices, righteous deeds. We bless her in all these different ways. We bless her with generosity and unselfishness. God commands against theft and selfishness in Proverbs 28:24. It says, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." Selfishness and theft, what's the opposite of that? Generosity. Be generous. Give above and beyond. Look at Mark chapter 7. We see a New Testament correlation to this Old Testament verse. "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." It's wicked. God hates it. Be generous and unselfish. Give to your mother. We don't need to, it goes without saying. We know very, very clearly that motherhood itself is a very unselfish thing. Mothers give so much of themselves just to birth a child, just to raise a child. And children can so easily turn around and be selfish in return. Mark 7, verse 6. Mark 7, 6, it says, "He answered and said to them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. You have your traditions, and you violate God's command through these traditions. For example, verse 9, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. He's saying, you allow men and women, men to give a gift to the temple. And it's a gift to God. I'm giving to God. And because you give to God, you don't have anything left to give to your parents, to help support your parents, to honor your parents, to provide for your parents. But you gave to God, and so that's okay. Jesus says, you are encouraging that sons and daughters do this. And they're giving to God, quote unquote, giving to the temple, and they're depriving their parents. They're not honoring their parents, and you excuse that. You are helping them to violate God's commands. This is selfishness. This is disobedience to God. Instead, we can bless our mothers, through generosity and unselfishness. God is particular on how we treat the gifts that he gives us, and that includes mothers. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. We can talk about negative things like cursing your mother, smiting your mother, and sinning against. But this verse is a little bit different. It says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. It doesn't state a specific negative sin against her. It says it's an absence of good things. Just does not bless. How do you honor your mother? You obey her in the Lord. You love her. You forgive her. You bless her in all these ways. And you learn from her. Look at Proverbs 31. And this is, some of these things are much more applicable in adult life, and they just continue on. Again, you don't outgrow these things, many of them. Proverbs 31. How can you honor your mother? You can learn from her. You can learn from anybody, but it takes some humility to learn from others. Sometimes it takes humility to learn from your mother, but you can honor her this way. Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. He learned from her, and he took that and used it. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. This is a sedative. She's describing a sedative, not a recreational behavior. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Okay, Mom. Sometimes the son has this reluctant and even proud attitude. You can learn from her. God gave her to you. God put her in your life. We appreciate God's blessings by taking care of them the way that he prescribes. Look at John chapter 19. Another way that you can care for your mother, and I should say honor your mother. Another way you can honor your mother is to care for her. John 19, verse 25. The Lord was respectful to his mother. He obeyed his mother. He was submitted to his mother, and now he's on the cross. And even on the cross, he's caring for her. John 19, verse 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, that's John, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. It's easy to just focus on what we think we need. And moms are giving. Moms are self-sacrificing. But it's easy to not care for them because we're so focused about ourselves, focused on ourselves. But even while he was dying on the cross, the Lord was preparing for his mother to be cared for. He asked John to take care of her, and John did. He was thinking of her. He was honoring her. He showed his love for her in this. You ought to honor your mother. You ought to help your mother. Just as your mother is a gift to you from God, you're a gift from God to your mother. She wouldn't be a mother without children. Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You read through scripture and you find many examples. I was talking with some others about Hannah in 1 Samuel. And that's a classic story, an account of a woman who didn't have children. She wanted children. She desired to be a mother. And she cried out to God to give her a son. And she said, If you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. Before she ever received that gift of motherhood, she was already giving her son back to the Lord. And she ended up having Samuel and several other children. God gave her that gift, that heritage of the Lord. He gave her children. And many women in the Bible and all over human history have prayed for God to give them children. And he often does. He usually does. We see many times God giving that gift. Children are a blessing. And you may be a child, a young child now, or you may be grown. How do you fulfill your place as God's gift to her? You're a blessing from God to her. How can you help your mother? Well, first of all, it starts by becoming God's child. Look at John chapter 3. When we're talking about spiritual ways to be a blessing, and of course, young children, infants, they're not ready to be saved yet. I'm not suggesting that. But the real meaningful, eternal ways of helping others and helping one's mother, it starts with salvation. John 3 verse 1, we see a birth referenced here. John 3, 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. If you're going to truly help your mother, you ought to give your time, you ought to give your energies and help her in those physical ways. But the most important ways that you can help your mother are spiritual ways, and you need to know the Lord yourself. If you're going to be a real blessing to her, if you're going to help her, salvation is a new birth. And we understand the physical birth. If you're going to be saved, it's a new birth. It's a spiritual birth, and it happens at a moment in time. You need to be born again. Do you want to help your mother? She might have needs. She might have shortcomings. She might not be saved herself. She needs you to help her, and you need to know the Lord in order to help her in the most important ways. Romans chapter 8, let me read it for you, verses 14 to 17. Salvation is a new birth. It's also described in a little bit different way. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I think it's neat how God uses and has designed the human race and the human family and something like motherhood. It illustrates spiritual truth. Adoption, and I've been told that when you adopt a child, you see some things about salvation that you just don't experience otherwise. If you've never seen an adoption up close and what happens there, there are some things about salvation that you don't see quite as clearly. The Bible teaches them, we can believe them. But we are adopted into God's family spiritually when we're saved. You're born into God's family spiritually when you're saved. And these are family terms that we understand. If you're going to help your mother, you need to become God's child. If your mother is a child of God already, if she's saved, she desperately wants you to be saved. If you're lost today, she desperately wants you to be saved. If she is lost, she desperately needs you to be saved and be used by God in her life. This is how you can help your mother. How does it happen? Well, it starts with childlike faith in God. Again, we think of the family and children. Jesus in Matthew 18 says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Again, a family term, humility, faith, just a simple approach to God and just believing what he says, having a tender heart. Children are known for having a tender heart. Children are known for being gullible because you tell them something and they just believe you. They just accept it. They don't question it. They don't stand back with a cynical eye. This is how we need to treat God, to behave towards God. Just accept it. Just believe what he said because he's God. Just believe it. Just have a tender heart toward your sinfulness. Be broken over your sin. I am sinful. I am wicked. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm going to humble myself before God. This is how you become God's child. If you're going to help your mother, you need to be saved. You need to give God everything. You can also help your mother by putting God first. Look at Luke chapter 2. Again, we are relating these family terms to the God that created them, the God that designed them. And we can't be, we all have a mother, we're all children in that sense. We can't be the child that we ought to be if we take God out of the picture. We can't appreciate mothers as we should if we take God out of the picture. And so all of these family relationships work if we behave and live and follow them the way God designed. Luke 2, verse 43, we find Christ as a child. Luke 2, 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They came for the Passover, and they went back home, and Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, and they didn't know. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him another day's journey. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He was subject, but he was putting God first. Look at Matthew chapter 12. If you're going to be a blessing to your mother, God needs to be first in your life. You need to help her. Become God's child. Put God first. And now, when you do that, you are in a position to help her. Matthew 12, 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." But he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Yes, I understand those are the physical, the human relationships here. But it's the spiritual world, the spiritual realm that matters the most. Put God first. Jesus says in Mark 12:29, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. When you honor and care for the blessings that God gives you, you honor God, the God that gave them. Mothers are a great gift from Almighty God. I'm so thankful for my mother. I wish she could be here today. She's not feeling well. I think that's the reason I haven't asked her that this morning. I know she's been dealing with some sickness, but I'm so thankful for my mother. I'm so thankful for the opportunities to honor the Lord by honoring her, to please the Lord by blessing her, to lift up the Lord by giving to her and subjecting myself in various ways to her. I'm so thankful for that. It's not always convenient. It's not always what my flesh wants to do. That's normal for human life. What we ought to do doesn't usually feel like what we want to do, but we please God by behaving that way towards these gifts that He's given us. Mothers are sinners too. They have flaws and shortcomings. They make mistakes. But when you honor them as unto the Lord, you honor the God who gave them. When you accept God's blessings with Him in view, you appreciate and benefit from those blessings to the degree that God intends and makes possible. No matter what your mother is like, you can honor her as unto the Lord. No matter how you have been in the past, maybe you are a mother and you say, I've made some mistakes. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I would have done better towards my children. No matter what you've been in the past, you can be a blessing to your children as a mother. You can be a blessing to your mother as a child. Starting today, appreciating God's gift. This is how we appreciate all of God's gifts, by holding them and using them and maintaining them and treating them and appreciating them as God intended. Because God gave them, and we ought to be thankful. Mother's Day is a good time to do that, and I hope you take advantage of that time to honor God by honoring your mother. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.